I'm going to read and simply make a few comments because I feel that what the Holy Spirit would have to say, or what God would have to say as we look at His Word, would prove much more a blessing to us than any exegesis that I might perform myself. So, Father, we thank You now for Your Holy Word. Thank You for divine truth. And, Father, I thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit that was given to the church upon its birth, that You might live in us and be with us forever. And so as we look at Your truth, help us to be changed, Lord. Enlighten us, open up our eyes, speak to us. Feed Your flock for whom Christ died, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read, starting in Luke chapter 1, and I just want to read and make a few observations, and then I'm going to turn you loose to be and do what we're about to read here. I said I'm about to turn you loose. Now that's the hook. That's the hook. I said I'm going to turn you loose to be and do what we are about to read here. Amen. And so everyone said, wow, well, what? Let's get to it. What does it say? I'm going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Let me say this. I never tire of the Christmas story. I never, never tire of the Christmas story. Because I was thinking earlier this week, this is an impossible thought. But I was trying to think of what the world would be like if Jesus hadn't come. It's impossible. It's impossible. Well, because, and you say, why? Because the world is trying to transition from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. The world is trying to transition away from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. But as we know, there is no hope in Happy Holidays. Hello? San Bernardino needs hope. Come on. San Bernardino needs more than Happy Holidays. Come on, Newtown, which happened on December 20th. That was also a Christmas time slang, 3 years ago, needed more than Happy Holidays. Why? Because there is no hope in Happy Holidays. There is no life there. Come on. And not only that, but even when it was Merry Christmas, leave it to man to take Merry Christmas and make it Merry Stuffmas. Merry, yeah, it's all about stuff, you know? But when we come back to the scriptures, I'm going to read through some of this, but I'm going somewhere, okay? And so the scripture says, and they were both righteous, speaking of Zacharias and Elizabeth, before God, walking in all the commandments of and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. I've preached this before. I've taught this before. But there was a reason why Elizabeth didn't have a child. And there was a reason why Elizabeth was barren. Come on, beloved, there's a reason why you are where you are. And part of it it's not time yet. And when the time comes, God's going to open up things. God help us. And so the scripture says she was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, you know the story. I'm not going to read all of that. He goes in, he sees the angel. The angel says to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. I thought to myself when I read that, Zacharias must have thought to himself, how long do you think Zacharias had been praying? They were both well advanced in years. It's possible, you know, Isaac prayed for Rebekah for 20 years. He was 40 when they got married. He was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born. So he interceded for a long time. It's possible that Zacharias had been praying for years. It's possible that the thought ran through Zacharias' mind, said, when the angel said, your prayer has been heard. It's possible that Zacharias thought, just now? You know, I've been praying. But here again, there's a lesson, there's an application in there for you and I. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Keep praying, right? And so the angel says, your prayers are, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You remember I said to you before that oftentimes God marries his will with your will, right? And I said that Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a son, but God wanted a prophet, a forerunner of his son. And so God got his will, and he got Zacharias and Elizabeth's will wrapped up in the same thing. And that's oftentimes why things don't work on our time scale. We have to allow God to be God. There's sometimes we want things, and God says, it's not time yet. And we're like, why isn't it time yet? Because we only think about what we want. We haven't given thought to what he wants. Hello? Come on. All right. And so, verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Here we get into where I want to go. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And when I read that, the Holy Ghost said to me, there it is. There it is. And I thought to myself, unless I mess this up, let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you what I'm after. Let me tell you what I see. It's simply this. When the Holy Spirit does something for you, a thankful heart is going to do something for him. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit rests upon you, you are going to say something for Christ. You're going to do something for Christ. Okay. And now this is a wow. This is the angel is prophesying, giving him a word that will come to pass later. That John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And I wrote down this thought earlier in the sermon that I had prepared. Wherever you find the Holy Spirit, wherever you find him, you will find wonders and miracles going on. Wherever you find the Holy Spirit, you will find wonders and miracles going on. Now, beloved, when it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, he wasn't filled in the sense that you and I are filled. But nonetheless, he was filled nonetheless. Amen. And so, but where's the Holy Spirit now? And where you find the Holy Spirit, you find miracles and wonders going on all the time, all the time. And every day in you, every day in me, he says, I'm working wonders, son. I'm working miracles in you. And I said, Lord, what does he see? Because we want the outside miracle. We want to see, I want to speak a word and declare a thing and it be established. And I want to speak. He says, no, the miracle that I'm doing in you is I'm constantly bringing you to me. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Okay. So what I want to do is this. I simply want to go through and show you that wherever the Holy Spirit came upon someone in the Christmas story, they began to utter words about Jesus Christ. They began to utter words about Jesus Christ. Why? Because Revelation 19:10 says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. I'll show you this in a second. Okay, so what happens is we have the prophetic word that comes about John, and we'll see it fulfilled later. We know the story with Zacharias. Zacharias couldn't receive or didn't receive the word from the angel, and the Lord struck him dumb until such time as he would open his mouth later. But let's look at another account of this happening. The angel appears to Mary, comes in and says, the angel says in verse 28, having come in, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And in verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary says, how can this be? Excuse me, since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now we saw the Holy Spirit come upon, we haven't seen it yet. We're going to see it in a second. But we have the prophecy that John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Here the angel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he's going to create a miracle in your womb. He's going to do something fantastic and spectacular in your body. And so from there it moves. We're going to see the fulfillment of that here in a bit. It moves on to Elizabeth. The angel says, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. Listen, it doesn't make any difference what you were called. It doesn't make any difference what people, what your circumstance was, what you were called, what your label was. When the Holy Spirit gets on the inside of you, when God gets ready to do something, it doesn't matter what you were. God, it doesn't matter what you were called. It matters what he's going to do. They're going to call you something different when he gets done. I'm telling you. As him, and he says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. Even what they used to call you, even what your circumstance or your situation was, it's not impossible with God. And so, Mary, verse 38 says, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And scholars believe that when she said, let it be to me according to your word, that at that moment, the Holy Spirit came and caused her to conceive in her womb, that the seed of God was planted in her womb. At that moment, she says, let it be. They believe that she conceived. And so Mary gets up with haste. She runs to Elizabeth's house, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And here we're going to see two things happen at one time. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what the scripture doesn't say is that that John, the babe who leapt in her, was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And so John was filled. Elizabeth was filled. Now, watch this. And immediately Elizabeth, verse 42, spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. She began to prophesy. She began to say something about her Lord that she did not know previously. Why? Because she had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you follow me, I'm telling you what's going to happen in you. I'm telling you what is already the process of what's going on in you, because it's right here in the scripture. Because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you are going to begin to prophesy about who Jesus is. Come on. You're going to begin to say something. I was in a customer's house just a few days ago. And I mean, the Lord just uses just simple things. And so the lady says to me on the way out, she says, happy holidays. I turned around with intent and purpose and said, very Christmas. And she turned to me and said, oh, thank you for saying Merry Christmas. She got up in my face. Thank you for saying Merry Christmas. So many people don't say Merry Christmas anymore. Lord, that's all I needed. Well, ma'am, I got to say Merry Christmas because Jesus has been so good to me. Now, when I say prophesy, I'm not talking about speaking the future, although the Lord can do that. But I'm talking about just speaking of Him. Just speaking of Him, the truth of who He is, right? Okay, so you see here that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and immediately blessed Elizabeth, or blessed Mary, and said, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So not only did she speak of Him, but she began to prophesy. She had a word of knowledge. She sees by the Spirit. I don't know if she understood it to what the degree she understood it, but she said, why is the mother of my Lord coming to me? And so Elizabeth is prophesying. We know what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist told his disciples as they looked upon the, on John 1:29, as Jesus was walking, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was prophesying. No one told him that but God from on high. And he began to speak of who Jesus was. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what's happening in you. Let me tell you what God wants to do in you, because the Holy Spirit is living within us and filling us. I tell you what. I tell you what, God wants every house I go into for me to exude just Christ Jesus just coming out through my words, through my actions, through everything. I went to Lowe's yesterday to pick up something. I was fixing something, went to Lowe's, and you know how it is. People, associates are walking around. They're supposed to say something to you, you know, which they're supposed to. But there ain't no amount of money you can pay people to care. Hello. I said there's no amount of money you can pay people to care. That comes from the heart. Money can't trigger that, right? And so I'm walking past this young man, and he kind of like, you know, barely made eye contact. He said, you know, hi. I turned around. I said, hey, how you doing, man? He turned around like... I had this big old Holy Ghost grin on my face. Hey! And he was about to cut short and run away. I said, hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm okay. And, you know, went to the weather. He says, it's cold up here. I said, no, this ain't cold. You know, we started having a conversation. He's from San Diego. San Diego, this is freezing. So we talked for a little bit. I found out he had a family, a son, moved up here, living with somebody's folks or whatever. And, as we began to walk away, I just began to bless him. I said, brother, man, I just want you to prosper. And, you know, for the short time that you're here, whenever you're here, that you have a wonderful time with your wife and family and go back to San Diego, whatever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit. As we're filled with Him, we don't have to say His name every 2 seconds. Come on. But we just have to carry His image. We just have to let Him speak through us, right? And so, Elizabeth says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then, now we see Mary's fulfillment. Remember the Holy Spirit, the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, right? And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that thing which shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. So we've already seen where the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary. Then Mary says in verse 46, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And Mary, because the Holy Spirit come upon her, Mary begins to prophesy and starts talking about Jesus. She's talking about to not only God the Father, but also the one who would be in her womb. And she goes on and on with this song of praise. The Magnificent, it's called. And she says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me." Yes, and holy is his name. And so Mary began to proclaim all these wonderful things about God. She didn't only proclaim it to herself or to Elizabeth, but she's proclaimed it because it was written down and recorded to all the generations past who have read this, who have entered in upon this and experienced the beauty of what she has had to say. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there because it goes on. And I just love, see, I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I had to entitle this, I would title this "The Holy Spirit in Christmas." The Holy Spirit in Christmas, because Christmas exists because of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Christmas exists because of the Holy Spirit. The Son was made flesh through the seed that was sown by the Spirit of God into the womb of Mary. You see? And so we see Holy Spirit activity totally surrounding the Christmas event. It was interesting because Joseph wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He had dreams spoken to by angels and so forth. But Joseph was never, according to the scriptures, didn't list where he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't see Joseph, the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus saying anything along these same lines. But we do see John the Baptist. We see Elizabeth. And now we're going to look at, don't forget Zacharias. Okay. So we're going to come back to Zacharias. Let me read this. At the end of Mary's song, I thought to myself, my. Look at verse 56. It says, "And Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months." And I thought to myself, what a household that would have been. Can you imagine it? Elizabeth's pregnant by a miracle from God. Mary's pregnant by a miracle from God. John is in Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth running off, prophesying and tearing, ripping and tearing, and the house is filled with God. Mary singing songs of glory and praise. Ladies, you know how you like to get together and hang out and talk and all that type thing. And I thought to myself, what a 3 months that would have been. And I'm a dude, I'm a man, and I would have loved to have been there. Hello. Amen. All right. Now listen. Verse 57. "Now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son." And you know the story that they all call for Zacharias. And they asked John the name. And he wrote, got out a pad and said his name's going to be John. And verse 61 says, "There's no one among your relatives who is called by this name." And so he said, "His name is going to be John." So they all marveled. Verse 64, "Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke." Now you would think after God done struck you dumb. Now see, if you hadn't learned anything, when you open up your mouth, you could have gone off complaining. "I can't believe God." But no, he couldn't do that because his son was born. See, God closed his mouth until God could bring him the promise of which he spoke. See, Zacharias didn't have enough faith to believe what he was asking God for. He didn't have enough faith to believe for what he was asking God for. And so God had to strike him dumb, had to shut him up. Why? Because Zacharias, this is not only for you. This boy you about to have is for me. He's my forerunner. He's my forerunner. And so when his tongue was loosed, he spoke praising God. So Zacharias learned the lesson. He learned that when God speaks a word, there's a whole nother message in here, beloved. I think we'll get to it when we get to Simeon. We got a few more to go. And I'm not going to be too long. You're not going to be here too long, but we got a few more. Can I take my time? Thank you. I've just been given license. Amen. And, but Zechariah learned the lesson that when God speaks, believe him. Just believe him. But how are you going to do it, Lord? No, just simply believe. Remember the man who had, you know, the woman who was had the issue of blood stopped Jesus and got her miracle. But the man whose daughter had died, they come and said, you know, why trouble the master any longer? Your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to him, Mark 9:23, says, do not fear, only believe. Only believe. That's what Zacharias needed. And so, where is it? It says, then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judah, verse 66. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now listen, verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. What happens to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit? They begin to prophesy. They begin to utter things about Jesus, things concerning Jesus, right? And so Zacharias strikes out and says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed, that word, redeemed his people and has raised up the horn of salvation. Speaking of Christ, as he says, in the house of his servant David. And so he begins to speak, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And Zechariah goes off prophesying and declaring what God is doing and what he has done. Not only what he has done and what he's doing, but what he is going to do. And he's speaking primarily of Israel. As he speaks to perform the mercies that he promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham to grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. And so Zacharias begins to proclaim and to declare what God is doing. Listen, beloved, the same Holy Spirit who did that in them is the same Holy Spirit who lives in you and I right now. And as I read the scripture, as I read that, it is, I am just prompted in my own spirit, son, I'm no different. And what I did through them, I will do in and through you. So that's why I said on the outset that in a little while, I'm going to turn you loose to go be and do what they were and did. Because I believe God is the same. The Lord is the same. He does not change. Okay? So then, the shepherds heard the angels. They weren't filled. They declared a few things, what they had seen. But it was different when a person was filled. And so, in Luke chapter 2, we come over to this wonderful man of God named Simeon. In verse 25, it reads, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel speaks to the Messiah that was to come. That's what he was termed before his coming. He was called the consolation or the salvation or the one who would comfort Israel, deliver her from all her enemies. Remember, when Jesus came, the Jews were in bondage to Rome. And that's why they all thought he would be a military leader, be one who would be political and wrench or rend power away from the Romans and set up a earthly kingdom. But the scripture says that he was just and devout, and listen, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful promise. That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Ah, thank you, Jesus. What a revelation. Beloved, because in that revelation to Simeon comes the revelation to us and the realization of our own new birth, that neither can anyone or anyone who is in Christ, anyone who is in the church, has seen the Christ before they died. That is the only way that you can enter the kingdom. You have to see him, you have to know him before you die. And just as Simeon was chosen to see the Lord's Christ before he died, beloved, you and I sitting here in the same way. God chose you. He chose me that I would see the Messiah before I die. That's the only way that we can be saved. And so we see our present day experience represented here in the scripture. And so I'm trying to put myself in Simeon's shoes. I'm trying to think, man, walking around thinking, because Simeon would have known the Old Testament scriptures. You had the scribes and Pharisees. You had all this going that said, Micah 5:2 that says, Bethlehem, thou art the smallest among Judah, but out of thee shall come forth the ruler. And they knew that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem. So they knew all these things. And yet the Lord, the Holy Spirit reveals to Simeon, that one who's coming, you won't die before you see him. And what it must have been for him to wake up every day. And now listen, beloved, when God spoke a word, the Holy Spirit spoke a word to Simeon. But every word that God speaks to us, you know, the scripture says that the words are tried seven times in a furnace of fire. And when God speaks a word to you, that word will be set on fire. Huh? When God said to Joseph, God gave Joseph a dream. And Joseph saw, he said there were 12 sheaves. Talk to his brothers. Hey, there were 12 sheaves. All y'all sheaves fell down to my sheaves. That's a word from God. Then he had another dream. He said, and his dad heard it. He said that the sun and moon and all the stars fell down at my feet. And God was speaking to Joseph, but that word will be tried by fire. And so Joseph went through the fire in order to see that prophetic word brought to pass. And so I thought to myself, when Simeon heard the word from the Lord, can you imagine every day waking up and saying, this is the day I'm going to see the Lord's Christ? Can you imagine when you first get the word? Come on, you've received a prophetic word. You've heard God say something to you before. And in the beginning, you all fired up. You say, this is the day. And then about the 250th day, you wake up and go, is this the day? You'd be like John the Baptist and say, send the disciples to Jesus and says, are you the one? Or do we look for another? I mean, John, the one who said, behold, the Son of God was now. Was now saying, are you the one? That's what the trial of the word will do to you. And here Simeon is old. He's advanced in age. And yet God had said to him, you will see my salvation before you die. So many times I was thinking how what Simeon must have gone through. He's like, well, I'm going to see him, but. You know, will he be grown? Will he be a baby? Will he be a man? Will I see him in the temple? Will I see him walking out the field? I mean, you can only imagine what would have gone through his mind. Will I be driving down the street in my Lexus? Or will I be, you know, how's it going to happen? How many times has Simeon visited the temple? How many times Jews pray at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall right now? They go there all the time. But this time, verse 27, so he came by the Spirit. Listen, when it is time, the Spirit will bring you where you need to be. Only the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will bring you where you need to be in order that he might fulfill his word. And so by the Spirit, he comes into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here it comes, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace. Listen, according to your word. All the trials, all the fears, all the anxieties that Simeon would have had about that word coming to pass. He said, it's all done now. You are letting your servant depart in peace. Why? Because God, you have fulfilled your word. Then he begins to prophesy. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What does Yeshua mean? Savior. Salvation. Jesus. Savior. My eyes have seen your salvation, verse 31, which you have prepared. Listen, Simeon gets into it. Simeon begins to prophesy. He reaches back into the Old Testament. He says, you've prepared before the face of all peoples. And he quotes parts of Isaiah 49 in verse 6 when he says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And the glory of your people Israel. What is he saying? Listen, church. When Simeon prophesied that, what was the light to Israel? It wasn't Christ. The light of Israel was the prophetic scriptures. That was the light that shone them forward. Remember when the Magi came to Herod, and they said, he said, well, when is this king supposed to appear? When is this star? Where's this king? They said, well, he's coming out of Bethlehem. They had light. They had light that was shining forward toward the Messiah. But that was only for the Jews. Can you imagine there was a time in the earth where only one nation had light? Only one nation. And it was the nation of Israel. But Simeon prophesies and says, God, you've prepared this salvation before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And it was John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5, verse 4, says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Now, I know this is, I can't explain it. I'm going to just tell you how it is. The life of Jesus in you is light. On your job. You know it. When people look at you, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Carl, it's light. People who are caught in darkness, when they look at you, there's something about you where it's throwing off spiritual light. Why? Because the life of Jesus in you is the light of men. And people see it. They don't know what it is. They don't know what to do with it. But come on, from time to time, you may have had people. I've had a girl come up to me years ago and says, Pat, what is it? There's something different about you. Yeah, you're right. I didn't say that to her. But I knew what she was talking about. Come on, you know what it is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And so, let me get to this last one. Simeon, here God again was doing so much as he always does. God opened up a window and let Simeon look through it on his eternal and divine purpose and plan. See, Simeon was allowed to see the Lord's Christ. One commentary said, he was allowed to see the Lord's Christ or anointed one because of his just and devout life. That may have been the case. Yet I find it that anytime God does anything for us, it's always the root, the origin is his grace. It's his grace. Now, but Simeon saw the Christ. Not just so it could be a, well, wow, I saw the Christ before he, you know, before I died. No. He saw the Christ, what God did for him, Simeon, then in return, responded with this prophetic utterance. that God had filled his heart with. But not only that, verse 34 says, then Simeon blessed them. He blessed Joseph and Mary and said to Mary, his mother. Here comes another prophetic word. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so God used Simeon to minister to Joseph and Mary. Just in the same way, God, having filled you and I with his Holy Spirit, would use us to minister to people. Now, but here, listen, beloved, this Christmas event was a one-time thing. But what I'm talking about with you and I is a everyday reality. It's an everyday reality. You see? And so even Simeon, when you receive a word from God, oftentimes we look at our reality and say, how can what God said be? When exactly the opposite is the case. Your reality is created by what God says. Ah, I feel like running. Listen, did you hear that? When God says something, we judge what he says by our reality. God says your reality is created by what I say. My God. And so what do I need? I need not consider my reality. I need to consider what God has said. Jesus. I'm blessed. I'm preaching to myself, church. I feel good about that. My God. I need to go somewhere and sit down and think about this. Jesus. So all that wondering, Simeon thinking, is it going to happen? It's going to happen. Listen, beloved, he said it. If he said it, it's already done. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. What happened? Bam! Huh? It wasn't 100 years later. It wasn't 2 seconds later. When he said it, that's when it happened. Hello? My God. Last one. Verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess. That doesn't say she was filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyone who is a prophetess is one who has the Holy Spirit resting on them. Otherwise, they could not be a prophetess. Amen. And so it says that she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Listen, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him. This is what people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit rests on you, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to speak of him. You're going to speak of him. She spoke of him to all, to all who looked for redemption in Israel. She spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Israel. And thus it is with you and I. As the Holy Spirit fills us and he leads us to those who are hungry. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. She spoke to him. She spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption. My prayer ever since this came upon me at about 10 a.m. this morning, my prayer has been from that moment, Lord, do this. Lord, let this be our reality. Not just up until next Friday. Come on. Because the Holy Spirit fills us on an ongoing basis. And I believe that's part of the reason why Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, If you and I are making melody in our heart to the Lord, guess what? It's not hard to speak of him to whomever we would find ourselves around. My pastor, the pastor who started this church, told me, he said, Pat, when we were young in the Lord, we would sin so much that when we went into church and we had to minister, we had to repent before we could even minister. And I was like, yeah, I understand that. But the point is that what he was making was that you want to remain filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourself. That means speaking to one another. But I also believe it means speaking to yourself. I hope you speak to yourself. David said, so be encouraged. He said, so get up. Come on. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That goes along with making melody in your hearts to the Lord at all times. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we've been filled and endowed with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you filled us, Lord, not only to save us, but you filled us that we might declare your praises, the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, give us a word, open up our mouth, that we might speak of your marvelous goodness. Oh, that we might declare your praise, that we might speak of you, Lord, to all who would hear, Lord, that we would declare your redemption from day to day. Lord, let this be a living reality for us, that being filled with your Spirit, we prophesy, declare, preach, and exhort concerning Jesus Christ. And Father, we give you thanks for it now and always in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.